This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here as we cover a lot of different topics around the Umpqua Valley. As you heard last week, the Oregon State Legislature met for another legislative day session. State Representative Virgil Osborne from District 2 in to talk about some of the things last week. And it sounds like you had some long hours and long meetings.
Yeah. Hi, Kyle. Thanks for having me in. Yeah, it was a long week, and even though it was only a three-day week, actually some of the legislators, I think, had meetings on the fourth day. But yeah, our committees were very busy. There was a lot of stuff covered, and I don't think most people realize what legislative days are. And just to give you a quick rundown on what legislative days are, that's a time when all of our legislators get together and we have public hearings, and they're public, not necessarily open for public comment, but we get a real kind of a snapshot of what's going to happen in the long session in January and some of the bills that are going to be being pushed through. A lot of agencies spoke at these hearings, and it's a really great way to monitor and watch and see what's really coming up for the next year.
And so you have individual meetings with committees. Do you meet like the whole House meet session at all?
Yeah. So all of the committees, all the different committees meet at different times, of course. And, you know, I had one or two a day. The committee hearings are usually 2.5 hours long. And I can go over some of the things we talked about in them.
Sure.
So one of the committees that I'm on is the Labor Business and Labor Committee. And one of the things that we heard, there was a couple of topics. There were several topics that were discussed, but a couple that were really important, especially to this district. And that was the timber industry was there, and they were begging and pleading for some fire prevention work from the state to pitch in. The state's doing a great job with what the resources, you know, with the resources they have as far as forest fires and wildland fires are going. But we had 1.9 million acres burn this year, and it has been really, really hard on the timber industry. And timber was there basically to, you know, start pushing to fund legislation or find legislation that would fund more fire prevention work. In other words, maybe the firefighters could maybe work during the off season to actually do some mitigation work. So there was a lot of discussion around that. Another part of the labor committee, there was some discussion around the paid leave Oregon, which has been a big kind of a topic of discussion here for the last year since it started. So some numbers that they gave us, paid leave Oregon, which I get phone calls in my office all the time for people that are upset because they've filed for their paid leave, you know, for their surgery or their hospitalization, and they haven't gotten it yet. That's starting to ease a little bit. They've hired some more people, but they've given away, or well, they haven't given away, but they've awarded $600 million in the last year to paid leave Oregon program for people who have been out of work. So there are 90% of the cases have been heard. Not all of them have been paid out yet, but they are working on that. Now, again, being a government agency, they've also hired 75 more staff to handle what they're doing. So as typically with a government agency, once it's established and a program's established, then they start asking for more and more funding. So there's a lot of discussion around that. Another big committee for me is the Climate, Energy, and Environment Committee. And again, there was some more discussion in that committee about wildfire, because wildfires in Oregon is just it's a big deal. But one of the things that was talked about pretty in depth was the movement to green energy and the cost of that and what's happening with our economy and who's paying for it. I'm sure you've noticed that our electric bills are starting to go up. That's going to come with time. There's going to be more and more of that. One of the things that they're really struggling with is energy siting. So they want to put a lot of solar panels and they want to put transmission lines across the Cascades and coming from Eastern Oregon and other places. And they're having to cross many, many different jurisdictions, many counties, many cities, also BLM land, some Forest Service land. And they're trying to find ways to make this happen at a reasonable cost. The power companies have been tasked with doing this. They don't have any choice because they have to go to green energy, which basically is solar and wind. And that doesn't happen over here on the west side quite as much as it does over on the east side. So there's a lot of work on that. There's a Boardman to Hemingway transmission line that was discussed in depth, and it's 300 miles long, carries a 500 kilovolt transmission line, it went through 17 different designations, like townships, counties, and 300 private properties is what the line's going to go through. So as you can imagine, I believe the people that were touched by it, affected by it, that got letters, was over 5,000. So you can imagine the public hearings, and of course that's slowing down quite a bit of that as well. And then there was some discussion around hydropower, because there's a lot of pressure right now to take out dams, and hydropower is 65%+ of our energy in the Northwest. So they haven't come up with a solution yet to replace that power, and boy, we're in trouble if they do start taking out dams.
Well, and we've seen that already happen with the Klamath River, and that process is on. I'm not sure what folks have said about the Columbia so far, with that percentage, it would seem like you wouldn't, even if you want to pursue a particular agenda, you wouldn't go that route until you've got it figured out in terms of where are you going to get all this power.
Yeah, there's no solution at this point. The state moved, and this was before my time, but the state moved on these bills to create a timeline for green energy, and they've imposed that on the power companies to come up with their solutions. The problem with that is, to come up with those solutions requires a huge investment, and I mean, we're talking millions and hundreds of millions of dollars worth of investment, and the power companies now are trying to make that investment, but they have to recoup their investment, which means your power bills are going to go up. So maybe someday, 30, 40 years from now, if we're running on solar and wind and what have you, we might be able to see some reduction in power bills, but I don't think we're going to see that in our lifetimes.
So a lot of meetings there. I'm curious, are the dynamics different when you have legislative days while you've got a lot of the lawmakers involved in the midst of their own reelection campaign?
Well, I think you see a lot of questions. I don't know that they're that different. We're not actually, discussing to the point where we're going to vote on it at this point to put it through to the House floor or to the Senate floor. So I think this is still in the time when things are formulating. So you're going to see, we'll ask questions and they'll change their formulations before they actually run a bill. So it's definitely different dynamics. Actually, it's a lot more fun because there's a little bit less pressure because you don't have to eat a vote just because somebody wanted it. So yeah.
Now, does any of what happened last week set the stage for the next session in 2025?
Yeah, pretty much all of it does. You'll see these agencies come through. There's many, many more too. You'll see these agencies come through with bills, and they'll pick a legislator to run the bills through, or potentially they could be committee bills, or even the governor run some of her own bills as well through. And this is the time when that we start talking about it. We'll have more legislative days in December. I will actually be at a legislative training in Colorado in December, so I won't make it to those days, but we'll have more.
And obviously then that the last set before the new year for some people is their beginning of their exit if they are not in next year.
Yeah, so obviously November is the election, and you're officially finished at the end of December if you're not reelected. So, yeah, I mean, you see some dynamic changes in that. I mean, there were some people that were not in attendance at legislative days, and I won't name names, but I would assume they're probably on vacation because they know they're not coming back in January.
Now, is next year a full session or a short session? I couldn't remember.
Yeah, next year, starting January, the day after Martin Luther King Day, I believe it is. I can't remember the date, 18th, I think, will be a long session. So it'll be a roughly six-month session.
And what are those like? I mean, how much does that really change your life?
I mean, for a legislator, I don't think people realize the kind of what you have to give up to do that. You literally will leave your home for, a week at a time, and you'll be in Salem. You'll change your entire way of living. You'll eat out every day, or if you rent a house or whatever it may be. And then every day, you go to the House, and you'll start with committee hearings. And as the weeks progress, at the start, you don't have any floor sessions to speak of. They might have one or two here and there. But then as the bills start to come through committee, and we'll hear well over 1,000 of them. I think we had over 2,000 in the last session. As they come through the committee, then they'll be voted to the floor, and then things get pretty intense. That's when the arguments start happening. That's when you're actually doing your testimony. You're on the House floor. And sometimes there's tactics involved in delaying bills. There's all kinds of different strategies that we use and the Democrats use. And you might work till 10 o'clock at night, three or four nights a week. You just do what you have to do.
And for being in this part of the state, you know, you mentioned going up, you know, a week at a time. Those who are in the metro area of Portland or around Salem, Albany, even the north of Eugene, it may be a long drive, but they still end up in their own house at night.
Yeah, the local to Salem legislators don't have to. They don't have to go. They don't have to rent a house or rent an apartment or any of that kind of stuff. They get to basically go home every night, and we do get a small stipend, but it doesn't cover the cost of going. So part of being in the legislature, even though it's considered a part-time position, you do spend a lot of your own money just to be able to stay there and do your job.
All right, we're going to talk more in a moment on Inside Douglas County, the interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson coming at 1. Tomorrow, we continue a look at the legislative days, and State Representative Court Boyce will be on. In studio, State Representative Virgil Osborne talking about what happened last week in Salem. A lot going on, and you mentioned the length of some of these meetings. A lot of information out there, really kind of mostly setting the stage for next year, right?
Yeah, pretty much. That's what legislative days are. It's just an outline of what we're going to be looking at in January.
And as people look at all these different issues, now, did you ever meet in a joint session at all?
I did, actually. I went to a joint hearing. Well, I wouldn't call it a joint hearing. I attended it. I sat at the dais as a House member in a Senate hearing regarding the Winchester Dam. Let's just put it this way, it was interesting. I don't know that I would say a whole lot about it at this point since there's a lawsuit going with it.
And as you look towards the, let's back up a minute. What before this legislative days, what are some of the other things you were involved in kind of late summer, early into the fall?
Yeah, so it's been very busy. Just recently, locally here, we just had our Veterans Memorial dedication at the courthouse, which I was involved in that. Also, there's been just many, many events and fundraisers, a lot of public appearances. I mean, it's countless. It seems like it's every other day. I was actually able to go spend some time at Sutherland Middle School and talk to their class there, their leadership class, about some civics and some leadership goals as well.
And what are your plans between now and the election?
I mean, we're in pretty much full campaign mode right now. You know, my version of campaigning is I just do my job really well and I keep doing it and I get in front of people and I answer a lot of questions. We'll do some, probably some more town halls. We just did the Washington County Reagan dinner that was this last weekend up in, it was actually in Hillsboro. But the reason for going was there was about probably 75% of the state legislators, Republican state legislators, were there. We actually got to hear, and I got to meet Riley Gaines, which was interesting. Got to hear her story, and many other folks were there too. So just staying very active.
What's your expectation, kind of from the Republican side of things, as to how this election cycle is going to go?
Well, you know, anytime Donald Trump is on the ballot, or for that matter, any controversial president is on the ballot in a presidential election year, more people come out to vote, especially if it's a controversial situation. You know, Trump's great. He's on our team. We're going to vote for him. But the problem is there's going to be a lot of Democrats that come out to vote because they don't want him as a president. So what happens is the down ballot suffers a little bit for that. So there will be more Democrats out there voting that normally wouldn't have voted, or there might even be some, non-affiliated that vote that wouldn't normally vote. And typically people go down ballot and they vote all D's or all R's. So I think we have a really good hold on where we're at. I think we're going to stay at the number we are, and we're trying to gain some seats. We've got some outstanding candidates up north that are running, and we're supporting them to the best of our ability. And we very well could pick up one or two seats on top of the ones that we already have.
Now, for the lawmakers who had to exit after the walkout and all that whole controversy, then you ended up, obviously, with some folks moving towards the Senate or seeking to, and probably a whole lot of new faces possibly in the House.
Yeah, I think you're going to see several new faces in the House. One of the, Janelle Bynum was a Democrat, is running against Lori Chavez de Remer. So her seat's open, and Amy Reiner is running for that. Amy is an absolutely great lady. She's a Republican, very conservative. She's checks a lot of boxes for that district, so hopefully we can pick her up. You saw Charlie Conrad up a little north of here, did not win his race, so he's going to be out. And Darren Harbick, who's another great Republican, is going to be moving into that. And then, of course, Christine Goodwin also did not win her primary. So I believe you'll see Alex Scarlatos. I think he'll win that race, and he'll be joining us in Salem as well.
And as you look at the next session, what's kind of, do you have some priorities you're already thinking about, or maybe even legislation you would like to work on?
Yeah, I have about 8 bills that I'm running right now. I try to keep my bills pretty relevant to, you know, the district that I'm in. There's sometimes I think some of our legislatures will have many, many bills, and sometimes they kind of lose focus. And I like to just keep my number low and relevant. And we'll be talking more about that here coming up as they get through legislative concepts.
And what do you see in terms of the tone of the session?
Well, I mean, this will be my second long session and my third session. I feel really good when you start out. Everybody seems to get along until the controversial bills start coming up. And in 2022, that was the abortion bill and the gun bill. I think the Democrats and the Republicans got along great. And then when those bills came along, it was like the House was divided and it became virtual warfare. So I'm hoping that we don't have to have one of those this time around. I'm hoping that we all can, you know, work together and come up with solutions. You know, we came up with some great solutions in the short session. I mean, we passed 4002, which was the bill that basically took the guts out of Measure 110 and made drugs illegal again. I mean, more of that kind of work would be outstanding for us in the House to do that.
And do you see any further work on Measure 110 happening?
Oh, I do. There are several bills that I've heard of that are actually trying to make even further modifications. We have to be careful not to slip backwards. I mean, I think we've got something done here that really will help the state. I think it will help our homeless situation, and that's obviously a very big issue in the state. And I think you'll see some legislation coming up, and that will all be formed here by December. You'll start seeing more and more of it.
And where are we at right now in terms of the state budget and the revenue?
I haven't really heard a whole lot. I heard that what I did hear is that the governor's going to ask for everybody to take a little bit of a haircut on their agency spending. But I also heard that, you know, part of the legislative days, I heard that Oregon OSHA just asked for another $20 million to increase their enforcement. So this is where we get into the arguments in committee. You know, I'm a less government kind of guy. I think we need less government, and agencies think they need more government. So to me, to add $20 million so there's more people in the field to fine our businesses doesn't make sense. I'd rather that didn't happen, but that's the difference between the way I see politics and maybe my opponents.
What are some of the things you've learned while you've been in the legislature that maybe you didn't expect to learn, if that makes sense?
Well, I think I'm getting a real schooling on state agencies and how, you know, some people call it corruption. I don't really call it corruption. I just call it, it's just government bloat. I mean, they just, when an agency starts to grow, starts serving the public, then they need more money to serve the public. So they're taking public money to get back to public. And it just seems to continue to government overreach just really seems to be the thing that I hate. So that's one of the things I've learned. There's lots of things that I see that I really didn't expect. How much time it takes to be a legislator is incredible. I mean, it's not 40 hours a week. It's probably closer to 80 hours a week, and you got to have a lot of staff to help you out. I mean, trying to do this job on your own, you would never get anything done.
And when you look ahead to the next session, is there one really big thing you'd like to see happen?
I would like to see the state continue working on the homeless problem. I'd like to see us come up with some real solutions that, you know, unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, I guess, for some points of view, there are a lot of you know, there's laws that govern this. I mean, homeless people are citizens too, so you can't just beat them up and throw them out. You know, that's not how this works. But we can do some things. We can, and you're going to see some of that with our housing. You're going to see that with our zoning laws are going to start continuing to relax. I think you're going to see more houses built. We need to build houses. We need more. That's the only way we're going to get out of this thing is to come up with more inventory of housing.
And on the housing front, what do you see happening next time? Because that's really come out as a big issue.
Well, I think that's a really important issue for the governor, and she's pushed really hard to relax zoning rules here and there. You know, there's so many things to talk about when it comes to zoning. I mean, we have, you know, wetlands mitigation projects. There's all kinds of things that cause developers to not want to build here, and we need to relax some of that stuff. But we also need to treat businesses here well. I mean, we need developers to want to come here and build houses, and I think maybe we're starting to turn that corner just a little bit. That's my prayer.
All right, State Representative Virgil Osborne, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Kyle.
1258 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.